God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to God. I am very excited about this series. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're teaching again on, I'm calling it our supreme identity, but it's morphing into some other thing. But that's sort of the root of it, to bring us back to understanding who we are, to cut out ethnic thinking first, ethnic identity first, cultural identity first, secular identity, physical identity. We're first spirit beings, and we need to remind ourselves. So our supreme identity, our ultimate, greatest, number one, before all else identity, who we are, the qualities that distinguish us and make us different from others, is that we are spirit beings first and foremost. We are children of the Most High God. We are slaves of the Most High God. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. We want to get into the habit that we recognize even ourselves no longer after the flesh. Help us to learn that, Father God, that we no longer see ourselves, that we from now on see ourselves after the spirit and not after the flesh. We need to get into that habit. That's a learned mental condition, a mental mindset. I got a helping preacher back there. 2 Corinthians 5:16 Amplified reads, "Consequently, from now on, we estimate and regard no one from a purely human point of view in terms of natural standards of value. No, even though we once did estimate Christ from a human viewpoint, and as a man, yet now we have such knowledge of him that we know him no longer in terms of the flesh." That's a prayer for us. Amen. Help us, consequently, Father God, from now on, help us to estimate and regard no one from a pure, I'm sorry, help us to estimate and regard ourselves from a purely human point of view in terms of our natural standards of value. No, even though we once did estimate ourselves from a human viewpoint and as a person, yet now help us to, because we have such knowledge of who we are in Christ Jesus, help us to no longer know ourselves first and foremost in terms of the flesh. If you think about that prayer and this statement that Apostle Paul has here, in 2 Corinthians 5:16, think about that. Apostle Paul, the Lord God, has Apostle Paul to write to the church of Corinth that we are no longer to know Jesus Christ after his humanity. Why? Because that takes away from who he really is. That's why Jesus said, I can't stay here. I gotta go. Because if I stay, guess who doesn't come? A spirit being. I'm natural. Now, hear what I'm saying. The hypostatic union of 100% man, 100% God. He walked the earth as a man. His spirit is his God. His deity was wrapped in flesh. And he operated on this earth as a man. And he was as limited as any other human being. And so if he was in Samaria, he couldn't be in Jerusalem. If he was in Jerusalem, he couldn't be in Judea. He could send people out, but he said, I gotta go. It's needful for you that I go. But check this out. I'm not gonna leave you comfortless. He's gonna send another comforter. I've been your comforter here in the flesh, but here's come one in the spirit. And he can be in Inkster. He can be over in Southwest Detroit. He can be over in Westland, down in Detroit at Dietrich Furs, over at U of M in Ann Arbor. He can be over in Romulus, all at the same time. We have got to get out of this blockhead thinking of us as human beings first. It's blocking us. And it's positioning us to receive garbage into our minds. We talked about the dangers of it, how it affects our thinking. Quickly go over that and as we review. The dangers in not knowing. We began to think, the greatest danger is that we began to think ethnically rather than spiritually. That then leads to us reasoning and speaking and acting ethnically based on our ethnicity. That then leads to emotions that are produced because of our thinking, reasoning, speaking, and acting ethnically. And those emotions can lead, and here, this is where the danger is, to irrationality, to us being unreasonable, unmerciful, angry, hateful, unforgiving, and unloving, just to name a few. An air of superiority, pride. There's a danger in that. And our ethnicity must take a back seat to who we really are in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. He died for us to have this status. He died for our spirit to come alive. Glory to God. Ephesians 2, verses 1 and 5. We were dead in our trespasses. That's all spiritual. Whatever happens in our natural, cool, great, yeah, nice. But we're saved because we were once dead spiritually. It's all about spiritual. Now what the Gnostics did and the teaching in 1 John, they took it to the level of saying then all flesh was evil and wicked and bad, and that's not true. That's not true. Flesh does have a place because we're on a natural, physical earth. So it has a place. So, I mean, they're going on one hand saying it's evil and sinful, and on the other hand, that's all we know. So we are two spectrum. Let's get it in proper perspective. That's all. And it helps us to understand who we really are in Christ Jesus. Let's go back. Last week, we began to talk about the Word of God, Psalm 119, that we want to see the Word of God have its proper place in our lives. Sister Renata is praying, and I thank God the Holy Spirit is speaking through her, reminding her and to admonish us and to exhort us to change our thinking and our ideas and ideologies and our philosophies and theories. Where are we getting those from? Who's feeding our mind? And so Psalm 119, verses 24, so two openings. I added one last week. We just opened with Psalm 119, 24, but we're going to also open with Psalm 119, verse 104 as well. So somewhat Psalm 119, slow down, Gregory Thomas. Get excited. Stanza 119, verse 24. And then we'll go down to verse 104. Verse 24. Your testimonies. When you see testimonies, that means talking about the word. There's like seven to nine synonyms for the word throughout these 176 verses, something like that. So you could say your word is my delight. They, your word, are my counselors. Counselors, meaning they are my advisors, they are my guide, they are my teachers, they are my instructors. Who's guiding you? Who's advising you? Who's counseling you? Who's teaching you? Who's instructing you on a daily? Yes, sir. Is it man or is it God? Is it the word of man or the word of God? Are you living by every word that proceeds out of the word of man, proceeds out of the mouth of man, or by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God? We're going back to this to remind us that the word of God is supposed to be our counselors, our advisors, our guide, our teachers, our instructors. Those of you taking notes, should we repeat those synonyms? Are you good?
Yeah.
Okay. Look at 104. Slide down, please, to verse 104. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Psalm 119, verse 104. Let me wait a minute. Through your precepts, which is your word, through your word, I get understand. Oh, understanding comes through the word, not through the news, not through social media, but through the word I get understanding. You may get some information from the world through those various forms, but you're supposed to hold it up in light of the word, and the word gives you ultimate understanding concerning those situations. That's what we're not doing on a regular basis, the people of God. Mm-hmm. Through your word, I get understanding, and therefore I hate every false way. We're going to break understanding down in false way. Let's do a word study. Through your precepts, through your word, because of your word, by your word, I get understanding, discernment. We're not discerning. I get perception. I can perceive things, recognize what's going on through the word. The ability to distinguish, in this case, what's godly and what's ungodly. To have insight, to consider diligently. See, I can think about something deeply through the word of God. I heard it from the news. That's why I said, just hold off till you get to we teach you how to go into those things. To consider diligently, to make intelligent. The word of God makes us intelligent, makes us wise. As one of the other verses says, wiser than even my teachers and my counselors and advisors. So understanding again is discernment, perception, the ability to distinguish, to have insight, to consider diligently, to make intelligent. All of that is done through the word of God and the word of God only. Now, glory be to God. And I love our God as a God of order. When you get understanding through the word, therefore, what's therefore there for? Therefore is there for this reason. That once the A portion of this verse happens, which is to get understanding through the word of God, then B can happen. I hate every false way. Why? Because you now know what is false. Are you listening to me? Amen, somebody. The word of God is what tells you what's false. Woo, help us to get it. If you're just listening to out there and you're just kind of yourself deciphering based on how you feel, your ethnicity, your culture, you're running it through that meal, then you're not going to really find out what's false, because there are ways that look true. False way. A false way is a way that is ungodly. That's obvious, comma, but couched or hidden in that word false is the idea that the false way is a sham. Meaning, a sham is something that is not what it purports to be. A counterfeit imitation. Meaning that it looks good. It looks true. What's the opposite of false? Right? True. True. It looks like a true way. It appears to be true. And that's why all of these terms and things out here that we're going to talk about, social justice and so forth, anti-racism and so forth, they appear and they sound good on the surface. He's the most subtle beast of the field. He's sneaky. Remember, his cohorts are dressed as angels of light. Apostle Paul in his letter. So beware. They are sheep, wolves in sheep's clothing. See, they appear. Remember the parable of the wheat and the tares. They look good. You can't hate every false way if you are not getting understanding through the Word of God. Does that make sense? Because the Word of God is the only one that can expose the false way. If you're using the devil's vocabulary and terminology to explain the things of God, you will never understand the false way because you're using parts of the false way. But he's so sneaky and we don't even know we're doing it. You can just write it down. We read it and went over it ad nauseam in the other series, Joy in the Midst of Trials. But we went over Hebrews 5, and we talked about having your senses trained. See, a mature person, talking about spiritual, notice we're talking about the spiritual aspect of a particular individual, is the one who can. But you know what? Let's go and turn there. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13. Let's go on and turn there. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13. The mature is, we've got to be mature in order to understand the false way. You got to be mature to understand you can't get wisdom and understanding outside of the Word of God. Remember, there's two kinds of wisdom. There's wisdom that's earthly, that's demonic. And then there's wisdom that's from above, that's peaceable and godly. There's only two wisdoms. You can't get understanding and wisdom anywhere else, not godly wisdom. You can't get wisdom. So let me back that off. You can get wisdom, but you can only get godly wisdom, peaceable wisdom, holy wisdom from the Word of God only. And understanding only from the Word of God. But you got to be mature to understand that. Verse 13, for everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness. What is he talking about? The word of righteousness, the word of God. For he is an infant, meaning he's immature. Verse 15, but solid food is for the mature. So he's talking about the immature versus the mature. The immature, spiritually speaking, versus the mature, spiritually speaking. Not age, physical, natural. Because there are some in Christ Jesus who have been in and around churches for years who are very immature because they don't have knowledge. You know that. I know that. You've seen them. You know some. Been in churches for decades. You mentioned one verse from the Bible. I ain't never heard that. Wow, really? Talking to a person, and I'll say a person so you don't know if it's a male or female, red, brown, or yellow, black, or white, but I thought that this particular individual should have known Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. He said, does it say all? Yes, it says all. But you should know that. I mean, that's like the Lord is my shepherd. Those are life verses. I don't know what that is, but amen. You know, because all of this is a life verse. You know. Solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. What a verse. Do you see it? You have to practice your senses and train them. So when you hear the news, if you just gotta watch it, or when you see all of that junk on social media, you are putting it through the Rolodex of your mind as it relates to the Word of God. You're practicing and you're mature in that area. You just practice and you're practicing and you're practicing. Practice, Greek word that refers to a habit of the body or mind. Here it speaks of the habitual use of the perceptive faculties known as our senses, which are being vigorously exercised. What we're doing is just laying down, let the media just wash over us, seeing everything. Yeah, Black Lives Matter, social justice, critical theory, this and that and the other, just do-de-do. Have their senses, meaning our spiritual faculties of perception. That's what we're lacking. Spiritual faculties of perception or discernment, intellectual understanding, judgment, spiritually speaking. Is not the Holy Ghost inside of us? Do we not possess the Spirit of God? Is he telling us that's not good? That's not good. Turn that off. You shouldn't be watching that because you can't handle it yet. You fool around and believe that lie because it sounds like the truth because you're not mature yet. Now we're listening to the Holy Spirit. Do we even know that he's even speaking? Mm-hmm. And if you're thinking ethnically and culturally, we don't hear him. We just drown him out. And we're so angry. We're so black. We're so proud. So say it loud. Help me, Miss Darling. I'm black and I'm proud. That'll mess you up. Now, if you keep it in context, like I said, if it let it have a secondary or tertiary preeminence, you know, but not a place, but letting your spirit like that's fine. I'm black and I'm proud because what God does is perfect and very good. So it's very good that I'm black. Hallelujah. And if you got a problem with it, that's your problem. You got a problem with what God created. Or who God created, or how God created me. And to my black brothers and sisters who caught up in a skin tone thing, you know, where you can see the blue vein club, you know, then that's your problem. God made me lighter skin and red, brown, and yellow. And my wife said, I'm a Crayola guy. You know, I change colors in winter, I'm more yellow, and the other I'm white, and the other more red in the summertime. She said, I'm a red, brown, yellow, black man. That's God with a kaleidoscope of colors. So we're not dismissing that. We said that before. The danger is letting it be all that we are. Yes. And that's all that we think about ourselves as. And if you dare say anything about it, I will fight you tooth and nail. And the holy grail of the unforgivable and unpardonable sin is if you have any do anything racist toward me. No, let's keep this thing in perspective. Let's grow up. Let's mature. Let's have our senses spiritually trained. Trained means to discipline through vigorous exercise, to bring under control. To bring under control. And when you discipline through vigorous exercise and bring it under control, all of this is to result in the formation of mental habits, where you have a habit. When you see something and you're so mature, you know, nope, that's not right. Even the nuances, even the hidden insidious that's couched all up in there, you get to see it because you're letting the Holy Ghost be your guide. You're letting the Word of God bring you understanding. You're like, no, that's not right. You know, if you split that in half, you might, you know, be able to break it down, such as Black Lives Matter statement versus the Black Lives Matter movement. That's a good example. But if you don't know that, we just jumped on the bandwagon whole hog, and there we go. It takes the Holy Ghost to say, hold on now, slow down. Never forget, it was like at night, and I don't remember how the Lord got it to me, but he got it to me. So you need to look at some things here about this here. I want you to find out who started the movement. Who are those three young ladies? What is their sexual, quote unquote, orientation? Wow. Two of them are queer, whatever that is. Meaning they go to man or woman, the two of them. The third one is they're Marxists. I'm like, okay, that's a whole different, okay, now what I need to do? Then keep studying. We need to be careful when we join movements or start using phraseology or terminology that suddenly pops up. From now on, I hope after this teaching, I know for me, I'm cured. I'm going to look at it with a fine-tooth comb before I go borrowing that phrase, if I use it at all. And I got to stay on top of things because it's happening so fast. Now, I don't know what you're reading. I don't know what you're listening to. So I got to keep studying and I got to keep shepherding. It's a bigger challenge for us because of social media. And we're getting to that a little later on. Thank you, Lord Jesus. A rerun. Let's go back to Psalm chapter 1. I want to embellish that a little stronger. Psalm stanza 1. Verse 1. I want to break a couple of words down, a few things down in verse 1 of chapter 1. We read it last week, but the Lord wants to go back to it and break it down even further. It's no light thing that we walk in the counsel of the ungodly. It's no light thing that we allow other people to advise us and counsel us. How insulted and how demeaning is that to Father God when he says, I put in you a resident teacher, a resident advisor, a resident counselor. I told you he will guide you into all truth. He'll show you things, and you turn and shun all of that, throw all of that aside, and go listen to the world. What an insult to our Heavenly Father. Verse 1, blessed is the man, the woman, the child of God, who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. The word counsel means advice, instruction, or teaching given by one person to another. Counsel again means advice, instruction, or teaching given by one person to another. In the world, the ungodly, when the ungodly speaks through the news and the media and so forth, and we are allowing that to teach us, remember Jesus said the amount of attention that you pay to what you're hearing is the amount that it's going to produce in your life. If you give no attention to the Word of God or very little attention to the Word of God, then it's going to produce little in your life. Who's teaching us? Who's advising us? Who's instructing us? He walks not in the counsel, the advice, the instruction, and the teaching of the wicked. I love how one commentator speaks about walking in the counsel of it's a bias of the will. What does that mean? W-I-L-L, bias of the will. I mean, we've made our mind anew. We chose to do that. It is a way of thinking. The state of mind which the ungodly cherish. The state of mind which the ungodly cherish. What the ungodly is doing is dressing up that state of mind so that we don't realize that it's ungodly. We start cherishing what the ungodly cherishes because we're not discerning. Nor stands in the way of sinners. Let me know if I'm going too fast if you're taking notes. We good? Nor stands in the way of sinners. Stands in the way to associate with the vicious life of sinners. Those deviating from the straight course. See, in the way of sinners, the way of sinners is a deviation from the straight course or from the Word of God. The course of the Word of God, the path that the Word of God has laid out. Having my notes, in other words, they do not follow the path taken or indicated by sinners. They don't imitate the example of sinful people. So when it says, nor stands in the way of sinners, they do not take the path or follow the path indicated or taken by sinners. I'm not going to follow your wordology, your terminology, your theology, your ideology. I'm not going to blindly follow that. Nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Sitting, as one commentator has, sitting as in one's habitual place among scorners. Like you go to the bar and that's you go so often, like that becomes your seat. He said, by habit, we just chilling. By habit, man, let's sit down, let's get a little drink. To delight in the company of those who scoff at godly things. Wow. Just sitting there, comfortable. Hearing the garbage. And in this technological age, when we're sitting there watching TV, that's the same concept. The same exact concept. And I'm not talking about this, I'm talking about new things that are putting ideas in your head. That's sitting in the seat of the scoffers. Have you, and you say, I don't go to the bar. I mean, is it okay? Yeah, but I'm going to tell you what he's talking about. Amen. Don't get so literal that you say, well, I don't sit with, if you're sitting in front of TV or reading social media, you're sitting and you're agreeing with that or even considering that, that's what he's talking about. Look at Psalm 26, please. Psalm 26, verse 4. Let me know if I'm going too fast. I'm going to take a little walk here.
You said Psalms
26? 26, yes, ma'am. Sometimes it gets so hot up in here, not physically, but spiritually. I got to take a walk to walk off the energy. April, you got your running shoes on?
Yes.
Right, all right. All right, Mr. Arlene, what about you? Amen. Psalm 26, verse 4. Hallelujah. Woo! I do not sit with men of falsehood, nor do I consort with hypocrites. I mean, that's what we got to just have that attitude. Glory be to God. Verse 5. I hate the assembly of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. Glory be to God. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Ms. Felicia, I got to go back to my apostolic roots. Let the church say amen. Amen. Come on, somebody. That's a declaration. That's a mindset. Remember we talked about the bias of the mind? This is where our mind ought to be biased to this. I do not sit with men of falsehood, nor do I consort with hypocrites. I hate the assembly of the evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. I will not do it. And you got to realize, just because you aren't hanging out in the hood or with gangsters physically, realize that's not what he's talking about only. If you're hanging out with the TV, you're hanging out with the newspaper, you're hanging out with social media, and those things are ungodly. If you're hanging out with your best friend, your mom, your dad, and they're spitting ungodly things, that's what you're doing. Jesus said, you got to love me more than, first and foremost, than your mother, father, sister, brother, your closest relationships. I don't care who they are. If they're not godly, they got to go. One more, Psalm 40, verse 4. Psalm 40, verse 4. Why are we going through this again? Just to let us know that our counselors, our understanding, our advice, our instruction, our insight, our ability to discern and distinguish is to come from the Word and from the Word only, because that's who we are. We're spirit beings, and it is the Word that is supposed to feed our soul. So remembering who we are first as spiritual beings, knowing ourselves no longer after the flesh, realize that the only way that that dude gets to eat is through the Word of God. All nourishment, all understanding, all judgment, all ability to discern, to understand, to have insight, to give advice, is only come from the Word of God. This is our soul food. Not out there. It's here. You can hear out there. You can hear out there, but because you're so mature here, you've had your senses trained, you know what to do with all that. Come here, let me tell you something, baby. That's not right. Let me talk to you for a second. Let me spit some knowledge from the Word of God. Ultimate truth. The only truth. Psalm 40, did I tell you 40 verse 4? Blessed is a man who makes the Lord his trust, not news, meat, and so forth. Who does not turn to the proud, thank you, Jesus, to those who go astray. Listen, after a lie. It's a lie. Amen. It's a lie. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This is still our review, even though he filled in a lot of that part of the review and add a few more things and embellish that. We went over when the Word of God is not our counselor. Still reviewing. Psalm 119, let's go back to that, verse 10. When the Word of God is not our counselor. When we're not getting understanding from the Word of God. When we're not getting insight from the Word of God. When we're not being advised from the Word of God. When we're not being instructed and taught from and by and because of the Word of God, this is what happens. Psalm 119, verse 10. Psalm 119, verse 10. We got it? With my half heart, I sort of kind of seek. No, with my whole heart, I seek you. Why? Because it is. Let me not wander from your commandments. Remember verse 1 talks about adults walks not in the counsel of God, nor stand in the way of sinners, and that their way is, when you follow their way, you just wandered from the Word of God. Because the way of the sinner can't be the way of the Word of God. So you either, remember Jesus said, you can't serve God and money. You're either going to do one or the other. Elijah, why are you hesitating between two opinions, Baal and God? Or in our case, worldly wisdom, demonic wisdom, and heavenly wisdom. We have to make up our minds, and then we got to be discerning and see it when it does show up. Amen. You may make up your minds, I'm going to follow God. Okay, that's one part. Now you got to practice. Mental practice. Let me discern. What's going on? What are they talking about here? Be schizophrenic. Be paranoid. Spiritually speaking. I don't know about that. Distrust everything. Develop the gift of suspicion. Boshata. Excuse me. Pray for me. Pray for me, Sister Felicity. Woo! Watch yourself. Woo! Develop the gift of suspicion. I'd rather for you to be overly suspicious than you just get on all your family members' nerves and all your friends' nerves. I can't tell you nothing. You can't believe it. That's right. Because I'm a child of God first. And make them angry. I'm a child of God first before I'm black. Oh, wow. Where'd that coming from? Pray for me, Papa. They're going to get mad at you. Black folk will tear you up, call you a sellout. There's a new for me. I never heard of it. You just skin folk, but you ain't kin folk. Meaning you black, you got black skin, but you ain't really black. Black folk got some things going, man. When I say you better know that you know, you better know. When you step out there with this arm, with this knowledge and this determination, you're going to face opposition even from your own. Jesus said that your foes, your enemies will be there of your own household, family members, close relationships. So be it. I'm not wandering. from your commandments. Mm-hmm. Let me not wander. Because I'm sheep. We'll wander in a heartbeat. That's why we got to have shepherds. We need all the Holy Ghost. We can put all those tools in there. We still wander. We got Holy Ghost. We got word. We got power, strength in his might. Got all of that. And we still wander. Angels floating around us. We just wander off down 94 at 5 o'clock, heading that way. He's like, hey. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Hosea 4 and 6. When the word of God is not our counselor, we're lacking knowledge. And destruction can be right around the corner. He said, I'm destroyed for lack of knowledge because we have rejected knowledge. And we have forgotten the word of God. When you think ethnically, those are the dangers that come about. You reject the things of God. You can in favor of your blackness or your whiteness or your ethnicity. And you forget what God has said because you're remembering things that deal with you, whether it be the past or whatever. Let's look at 2 Corinthians. Now, all of that was reviewed. It's almost time to close, but all that was reviewed, but it was necessary to set the table. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. This is a good scripture to segue right into what we're going to get into. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning with verse 4. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. Let me know when you got it, big man. Thank you. Okay. For the weapons of our warfare, what's that word? Warfare? We read that many times, haven't we? Is it any more high definition, crystal clear, Blu-ray, IMAX that we're in a war of ideology and philosophy and theology than ever before in any time of our life? If this time right here doesn't put you in that, then I don't know what to do with you. This is war. And the war is for what's between our ears. That's why we gotta train our senses. You all just need to meditate on, we all do, Hebrews 5:14 talks about we gotta train them. The mature are those who have their senses trained, spiritually discerned, to see these things so that we can discern between what is good and what is evil. We're not seeing that, Ms. Palmer. We're not seeing it. Because the good, the evil looks like good, and we say, okay, close enough. We're not getting that deep, discerning, microscopic dissection of what they're talking about, of that particular ideology. We're not dissecting it. We're just blackifying it, ethnicizing it. That's not a word. And then we just, okay, it's good enough. For the weapons of our warfare, this is war, are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. Thank you, Lord, that they can be destroyed. We destroy, verse 5. What are the strongholds? What are the fortresses? We destroy arguments. And that word means opinions and theories and philosophies, all of that. And every lofty opinion, we destroy every lofty opinion, every single one, raised against the knowledge of God, because that's the knowledge of Satan. That's demonic wisdom. And so it's raised against, see, it's against in context. In contradistinction to the knowledge of God, and take half of the thoughts captive. My Bible says every, but we're not taking every because we're not discerning. There are thoughts that whose opinion is lofted against over and above the knowledge of God that we've taken in as fact and as truth. Because we're not deserted. I hope when you finish listening to this sermon today that you're like, wow, man, this almost doesn't seem fair. This is scary. Because we are taking things in thinking that they are godly and they are demonic to the core. But we're not even seeing that. Yeah, but as a Christian, you don't have to stay there. That's the good news. We got the Holy Spirit. This is daunting. This appears to be, this is tough. It's challenging. It's scary. But you know what? It's that if you're seeing it through your own abilities. Because you can't do it in yourself. You're like, man, there's too much information out there. Right. For you. But with God, all things are possible. Nothing is impossible for God. And that's who's on our side. Psalm 118:6. The Lord is on my side. We can do this. Me and him and the Holy Ghost and Lord, that trio, that gang of three we travel with, we can do this. Walk me through it. Teach me. Show me. I'm a living witness. I was all there at Black Lives Matter, Black Power to the People. I went and saw Angela Davis. Live in the living color this year. I saw, I forgot her name, the 1619 Project. Live in the living color. Power to the people. For God's sake, you got to give more power to the people. Some of y'all don't remember that song. Okay. I'm there. Let me begin to, because I'm going to seek the Lord. I'm going to keep being in his presence. Thank God for a teaching pastor. I'm a teaching pastor because I got to keep studying. I got to study for life. There's no time I get to stop studying. And as I'm before him and in his word, he's being chipping away. Okay, that's not right. You need to alter that. Tell the people this. And I'm praying and getting it. I'm like, wow. And I'm hearing and studying and praying and hearing and studying and praying. By the way, your discernment, I say, comes through practice. It's not going to just happen. You got to actively seek the word of God. You must study the word of God. Well, I ain't no pastor. I ain't got you. That's for you. I guess to just sit here and let you just talk to me. Bless you in your face. I said, bless you in your face. Study. You got to study too. You got to read too. My knowledge don't, you know, I teach you from the knowledge, but then you gotta understand it. You must meditate it so that your senses are trained. My senses being trained is not gonna help your senses.
Yes,
sir. You have homework for life. We just added Psalm 119 to read every day until the end of November, probably December too. We just added that. Glory be to God. But you have homework for life. And I know Word of Life is still not in the Word like it should be. I know it. I know it. And so therefore, destroying arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ is not happening. But that's what we are supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Notice he said, for the weapons of whose warfare? Now, don't get confused. The weapons are divinely powered. But who uses the weapons?
We do.
Say it again.
We do.
A little louder.
We do.
All right, I just want the people by stream to hear you. They said, we do. God is not going to come down here and force you to use his power. Force you to train your mental faculties so that you can discern. You got to do that. I got to do that. Just as, and I thank God for my transparent testimony being open before you from the John MacArthur thing to where it is now, and from 1619 and Angela Davis to where it is now. I'm a living witness. I know that he'll, yes, thank you, walk you through it. Verse by verse, concept by concept, precept by precept. I'm a living witness. It happened to me. And it's happening to me right now. This thing is real, y'all. We're in a war. And I consider myself a spiritual Christian. But I tell you, when very personal, intimate things happen that expose what you value, you may find yourself thinking some things and leading to other feelings that you should not have. And that was me. And I thank God that in his infinite mercy, his grace, his compassion, and his loving kindness, he exposed it.
Thank you, Lord.
He was gentle and juicy. And it came from here. Allow my word. Let me show you where you're erring, my brother, my son. Don't take this war lightly. If you realize, and I've taught you this for many years, when he says about destroying strongholds at the end of verse 4, and then he goes on to say, we destroy arguments. Those are the strongholds, y'all. I know you know it, but I'm trying to remind you. Those are the strongholds. Arguments, theories, opinions, reasonings, philosophies, ideologies. Those are the strongholds. And when they enter our heart, mind, and soul, they have the potential to exalt themselves over and above the word of God without our knowledge. If we aren't discerning. And then guess what happens? If we allow them to exalt themselves over and above the word of God, and we're receiving, then guess what, in the verse, guess what we're not doing? We're not taking thought that captive to obey Christ, because we're thinking either we're not aware that it's in there, or maybe we think even worse that it is in obedience to Christ when it's not the case. I'm a living witness. No shame in my game. I wasn't born a Christian. Thank God I am still a work in progress. But I will let you know, I'll admit my sin, and I'm on before God, and I thank God he is faithful and just to forgive it. And he teaches. He is a great teacher. He's a great counselor. He's a great comforter. I'm a living witness. I'm telling you what I know and experience it. I'll say this because that'll be the transition to next week, Lord willing. These arguments, these strongholds known as arguments, theories and philosophies and ideologies and opinions, these days come mostly from mass media, and in particular, the internet. That's a transitional statement to what we're going to get into next week. I'm going to say it again. These strongholds at the end of verse 4, 2 Corinthians 4, the end, we destroy strongholds. These strongholds, these which are arguments and theories and reasoning and philosophies and ideologies and lofty opinions, these days, come mostly from mass media and in particular the internet. Pastors have a challenging job. Every challenging job. So we got to try to protect you from all that, and we don't know what you're watching. I can't go into your house and say, hey, Boogalooga, stop watching that. I can't go in and say, hey, I'm going to turn off your electricity. Turn off your Wi-Fi. I can't do that because you are responsible to God, and you are responsible to God. This is an individual thing. You got to, remember the old folks, you said, you got to know him for yourself. Y-O, by the way. Yourself, not yourself. That old mother in the back of the church that cooked them rolls on Sunday morning for the Sunday afternoon dinner. So my sister Mitchell was born, and we knew about it in the 60s. Went to church down in Detroit on Mack Street. Woo, rich history. And we go over Mother Mitchell's house. Said, boy, you got to know him for yourself. Your mama can't go on your mama. Mama's loud and proud Christian. Loud and proud Christian. Mm-hmm. But I don't care how much faith she had in Christ. He wasn't going to save Valanda, her baby girl, or her four sons. You got nothing for yourself. You got to control how you deal with mass media. You got to determine your spiritual growth. Should I be looking at this? Would I hear this speech or read this article and be influenced by it and not really understand whether or not it's in contradiction to the Word of God or not? And if the answer is not clear, then don't read the article. Don't listen to the interview. Don't watch the podcast. Don't watch the news. You need to be honest with yourself before God. Father God, we need you like never before. These opinions and theories and arguments and philosophies and reasonings and ideologies and lofty opinions are out here in abundance like never before at any time in history. Thank you for the counsel, the guidance, the teaching, the advising, the consoling, the discernment, the judgment of the Holy Ghost living on the inside of us. I pray over your people. Hebrews chapter 5. I pray over your people. Hebrews chapter 5. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Your word says, for everyone who partakes only of milk and not accustomed to the word, your word, for they are immature. Help us to identify ourselves, Father, that if we only can take milk, show us that, please. Show us that. Reveal that to us. And because we only can take milk, that we're not accustomed to your word, show us that. Because we are immature. Show us our immaturity. We need to know that. Verse 14, but solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Father God, if we are mature and we can take solid food, help us to practice even more. Help us to form habits of our body, in particular of our mind. The use of our perceptive faculties, our senses, help us to vigorously exercise them. That we may have our senses trained, our spiritual faculties of perception and discernment trained, disciplined through vigorous exercise. Help us to bring our spiritual faculties under control that'll result in spiritual mental habits. Why? To discern, to discriminate, to distinguish, to determine what is good and what is evil. What is good and wholesome, and what is evil and harmful. We need you to just expose to us who we really are. And to change us seeing ourselves in the flesh first. Help us to know ourselves no longer after the flesh, but after the spirit. Amen. We thank you for it in Jesus' holy name. Let every heart say, amen. Amen.